Thank you, Emma. All right, let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to entitle the message, Stay in the Yard. As you're turning over there, I would just encourage you to be praying about our VBS. You say it's a long ways away. We've already got two kids registered for VBS, and I'm pretty excited. And it's not my kids, okay? It's two kids that are not my kids that are registered for VBS. By the way, they can register online this year, so we can get a lot of that work out of the way. But if you didn't show up to the informational meeting after the service this morning, I'm not mad at you, okay? I'm not. But just because you didn't show up doesn't mean that you're not going to be involved. Okay? And I don't mean that in a weird way. I really desire your prayer to start right now. This is going to be one of the biggest outreaches in 2 years. Okay? Last year, we had a virtual thing. We ended up reaching to several different states. I think we reached like five states in the United States. We had less reach in Taylorville. I would like to have a whole lot more reach in Taylorville. I'd love to get 100 kids here for VBS. I think it's doable. I think we've got enough kids in Taylorville in order to make that happen. And I think Mason said he would cut his hair, he'd buzz it if we get 100 kids. And then Carlton said he would grow an afro if we did too. So I might have just made both of those statements up, but I would really like you to be praying about that. And if you can be involved, there are forms on the table right as you go out into the lobby, and there's many different avenues that you can be involved. You say, I scheduled vacation during those times. Oh, okay. There's things that you can be involved in beforehand, like the parade. We'd love for you to be a part of that outreach and reaching out into our community. So that's a little blurb, and I imagine that you're in Galatians chapter 5. So in Galatians chapter 5, I entitled this, Stay in the Yard. Have you ever said that to anybody, like your kids, before? Has anybody stated that to your kids? Okay, what are the boundaries? It's usually like the sidewalks, if you have a sidewalk. But if they enter that asphalt area, they are in trouble, okay? They should not be going out there, or if it's concrete, they need to stay in the grass. Now, when you go to college, most of the time they tell you, stay out of the grass. You have to stay on the sidewalk. So you have to transfer your whole entire thinking, okay? But when yesterday I was in an experience with some of my kids and then also some little ones in our extended family that I thought would be a perfect example for us tonight, okay? Kids are always perfect examples, right? And you know what? Even we as adults tend to act like kids. Did you notice that? And I'll explain why. You say, no, I'm mature. I don't act like children. You do sometimes. I do, okay? So yesterday, we're several people inside of a small house. And when you have that many bodies in a small house, it tends to heat up pretty fast, okay? But also, when children are around adult conversations, they get bored rather easily. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, if they have a device, they usually turn to that, or there's outside. Well, all of a sudden, I started noticing, I looked around for Reagan, and I noticed that she was outside. Okay, that's great. She was with Uncle David and Aunt Anna, all right? And that's cool. That's awesome. I love it when she has adult supervision when she's outside. Now, if she's outside on her own, that would be a bit of a problem. But you know, when the other kids saw that Reagan was outside, guess what? That's freedom. The green grass. You get to go out and play tag. You can't play tag inside. Too many bodies. This adult conversation, it's boring. I need to go and have some freedom. Right? Now, there's a few rules that we set in place. If you go outside, you need to have adult supervision. You need to stay in this rectangular section of grass. Not all grass is legal for you. okay? You will have freedom inside of this rectangular area of grass. I don't care what's on the outside of that. I don't care what distracts you, what tempts you. You need to stay in this area. If you go over here, this is where the dog goes when it goes outside. You do not go over here. There are landmines everywhere. One that Reagan would get sucked into. We do not want that. We want clean, happy children by the end. Now, so they couldn't go over to that section. Guess what? Just across the way, there's a playground. They saw a playground. Oh, that seems enticing. You know what I kept getting asked? Can we go over to the playground? No, we're right here in this section of grass. You stay here. You enjoy it. And you know what? When they were focused on just playing within that section of grass, they were having a load of fun. They were enjoying themselves. But all of a sudden, some guy walks by with his dog in the middle of the road. You know where they're not supposed to go? In the middle of the road. But yet they see a dog. And that means it's free to go in the middle of the road, right? For them, in their mind, they say, oh, I got to go pet this dog. And no, get back to the grass, because it was an old dog. And old dogs do not like young kids, okay? Most of the time. Most of the time, in fact, the person had stated, he said, just make sure that the dog knows you're there, because it's like mostly blind. I'm thinking, great. It's going to think it's a squirrel coming up behind it and try to bite my child. I'm not having this. Get back into this section of the yard. There are rules. There are boundaries. And they were enjoying that whenever they were in the boundary. You know, this surprised me. One of the children, his name is Jack. David was outside. He was the sucker, okay? He was outside and he was running around after him. And I was inside, just inside the porch, watching. I love that position, okay? I love that. He's the rookie dad. He gets to go out and run around with them. All of a sudden, David wanted to come in because Declan was getting a little too cold. So then, these kids are all outside by themselves. We were watching. We were just a step away. We could get out, yell, hey, get back in this yard. Get back. And it would usually work, okay? But here we are, we're waiting, and one of the kids, does this surprise you? He comes up, he knocks on the door because he couldn't open it. No one is out here, no adults. No one is watching us. He's like, I am watching you. No one is out here watching us. He was concerned that there was no one watching him when I was watching him. And he was worried. You know, when he was worried, and he was concerned, and he was fretting about no one watching him, he wasn't enjoying the boundary that he was within. He said, where are you getting at? Entitled, Stay in the Yard. I want to read this passage for you in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Do you see the boundary? And yet, the boundary is the freedom that we find in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Why do we want to do that? He says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. It goes on, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Who is it that calls? God. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. I would that they were cut off, which trouble you. That's what's going on here. There is a boundary line that has been stated. It's the freedom that we find in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I heard the term circumcision, uncircumcision. What's it talking about? Well, that was, again, going back to the Old Testament law of those who would identify with being God's people, the Jewish people. They would circumcise their male children to identify. That was an identifiable marker underneath the law. Now these religious people that were leaking into Christianity or in the congregations, they were trying to propose that since Abraham, who they were through his bloodline, right? They were connected family, ancestry, physically, that he circumcised his children and that this covenant was made through God. And so therefore, if you want to hold on to the promise, then you have to hold on to the law. Well, that is not the case. And Paul is trying to prove that. He's trying to stay here. Listen, if you try to add to what Jesus Christ has done, you have nixed it all. That's why the theme is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus trying to attain the law is absolutely nothing. Jesus plus a church membership is absolutely nothing. If you're trying to add something to the gospel, it nixes the entire thing. So here we go in. We have God who stated that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. That's the standard. That's the guidelines. And through Jesus Christ, we can have freedom. No longer under this bondage. No longer underneath trying to achieve holiness. We don't have to do that because Jesus has done it for us. He's conquered sin and death. He was the perfect substitute. His righteousness was exchanged for my sin. Accounts exchanged. And so as we come in here, there is this challenge here in the very beginning, this call to action, this call to stand fast. Point number one, there was a call to stand fast in verse number one. Here it is. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand in the liberty. Stand within the guidelines. This is that idea of hold the line. Don't step away. As soon as you move away, let's say, what was that? Was it Red Rover, send Jason right over? Do you remember that game that's been outlawed by countries because it kills people? You know, it just... And you think, what are you talking about? Have you ever been clotheslined by that game? You know, you're not supposed to raise up your arms, but you know what Pastor Gerald would do? He would raise up his arms. No, he would. He wanted to win. All right, but has anybody been clotheslined by that game? Right. Okay. Now, what would happen when you would run over? You would try to find those who were frightened the most, those who would not hold fast to the line. So in my youth group, there was a couple of girls, Kayla Matheny, she's now Shoemaker, Whitney, although she'd probably smack me on the side of the head, you know, whenever I went through, right? Rachel Hanley. Okay, so there's these girls, and man, I just go barreling through, and they didn't want to deal with that. They didn't want to deal with that. So what do? Just pick me. I'll go to your team, okay? That's what they do. And come on, we just lost another person. Okay, think the same idea with Christianity. all of a sudden, somebody comes in with a totally different belief system, and they want to add to Jesus. And then they come in, and all of a sudden, somebody just decides, hey, I like what they're presenting. It makes sense to me. And all of a sudden, somebody's going, here, come on in. Now, in Red Rover, if you keep doing that, your team's going to lose. In church, if you keep doing that, the church is going to die. He said, well, wait a minute. It says in Scripture that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, the universal church. But I've seen a lot of local congregations die because they went, come on in. Whatever helps our offerings, however we can fill our choir, bring it on. Man, it looks good on our numbers. You remember the old wooden things that they were up at the front of the auditorium? I hated those things, by the way, okay? If you liked them, too bad, so sad, all right? I hated those things because it was always moving up and down. Oh, man, we're up by two people. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, when you start going down and you keep going down, they take that off the wall, folks, okay? Because they don't want to be depressed. But they love it when it's going up. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who we're bringing in and just letting do anything and everything. Oh, our membership role is there. Oh, it's up north. You'd be talking to a Lutheran, and they'd say, you know what? We have like 1,000 members at our church. We have 1,000 members. I said, how many show up on Sunday morning? Oh, maybe 200, 100 and a half. Oh, so you're just floating your own boat here and just letting anybody else in and becoming a part of your members, and they go out and they say, oh, I'm a part of this church. Uh-oh. See, churches all over the place are doing that. Letting go. Whoever, come on in, be a part of everything, teach whatever you want, whatever floats your boat. He's saying, listen, hold fast to what I've given to you. That's what Jesus is saying. Hold fast to the freedom that's found in Him. Live and enjoy the boundaries that He's given you, because those are the only boundaries that are going to make sense for your eternity. Nothing else will matter. Well, it sure made me feel good in this life. Guess what? This life is just going to be a little blip. Blip. You know, like your text message whistle that goes off? Does anybody have that? Woo, woo. It just keeps going off. That's about what life is going to be in the size of eternity in your life. It's just going to be, it's gone. Comes and goes. Comes and goes. Just like a vapor. Are we living for eternity or just this life? As we go, it says, don't move. Stay there in the freedom that He gives. Why? Let me ask you a few questions. Why move away from the work that Christ has already done? Why flee from safety? Why move from peace? Why try and do what already has been done? Why step out from underneath the umbrella? A few weeks ago, there was a crazy rain around here. Do you remember that? They said over at our place, we weren't there, they said that the rain was coming down so hard that they couldn't see past the back steps. Our playset flew over. It didn't matter how many stakes I had in the ground. It came over, broke the slide off. We had to fix that. And you think about that, and Keely and I were going to a reception. As soon as we parked, And I'm looking around me and thinking, I don't have anything to cover my head. And Keely, she's a smart one. She's prepared. She's the one that packs the diaper bag, okay? All right, and she pulls out and she looks over at me and smiles and has an umbrella. Oh, thank you. And we're in two different vehicles, not because we were fighting, but because of the situation at hand, okay? But she comes out and she has the umbrella and she opens it up. And you know what? I got underneath that umbrella as fast as I possibly could. And you know, it helped out a ton. Because I didn't want to get soaked. I didn't want to get so wet and be uncomfortable and smell like a wet dog. I just didn't want to have that. You say, where are you getting that? Why do we step out from Christ's umbrella to go and find other things? See, you say, this can't be a problem. It is, because Paul presented it in the Word. If it wasn't a problem, he wouldn't have to say, stand fast. He'd just say, hang out. If you feel like it. No, he says, stand fast, hold the ground in this freedom. We are battling our flesh on a consistent basis. You can say it like this. Your flesh has ADD. Your flesh has OCD. Your flesh has all those acronyms that everybody tries to put out there. If you don't know what some of those are, just think, if you were to go out into the lobby tonight and you looked over at the coat rack area, and if you're the one that notices that there's not the exact amount of hangers on each section of the coat rack area, that's you. And you say, what are you getting at? See, our flesh will look out and say, my life is not what I think it should be right now, so therefore, there must be something that I'm doing wrong. There must be something that Christ isn't doing for me or has already done, and so I'm going to go start searching. And he's saying, no, get that under control. Stand fast. Don't be like a dog when a squirrel comes around. There's a leaf. I just saw the wind blow. I didn't know that you could do that, but a dog can see the wind blow. Something. That is our flesh, folks. That is our flesh, always looking for something else. We are battling it all the time. We're dealing with outside sources, somebody coming in and taking our hand, and come on, I've got something better for you. I've got something better for you. Oh, the grass must be greener on the other side. And we leave what Christ has presented as a boundary line. Just like those kids. Oh, there's a dog. I got to go pet it. Oh, there's a playground over there. That's exactly what we do. So he says, hold fast, stand fast. So what happens when we don't stand fast, folks? First of all, you get entangled. That's point number two. You get entangled. It says at the end of verse 1, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That was a place that if you are in Christ, if you are saved, you don't want to go back to, because that's what you were under. You were under trying to achieve holiness and trying to achieve your way to God, but you can't do that. It's a constant yoke of bondage. It's a burden that you are bearing. And he says, don't entangle yourself with that again. You know, it's interesting when you got the picture in your mind of entanglement. Have you ever tried to pull apart two kids that are wrestling? Or, you know, like in the public school when two girls get in a fight? That's when Barry shuts his door. I think I've got a math quiz I need to prepare for. Okay, because you don't get in the middle of a girl fight
They pull hair, they scratch, they pluck out eyeballs, there's gnashing of teeth. I guarantee it. It's crazy. I don't know where all their anger is coming from, but they are meant to kill in that section, okay? And he says, don't entangle. That's the idea that I'm getting there. But in this idea of when bondage comes on you, if you've placed that bondage on yourself, the idea behind this is that it's a burden that you in turn will bear ill will on someone else. You will hold a grudge in the midst of this burden. You say, what is that? Well, that can be self-guilt. All of a sudden, a Christian will say, I can't believe I have done this to myself. This is the thought process of an addict. I can't believe that I drank again. I can't believe that I took another puff. I can't believe that I watched again. I can't believe, and that self-guilt ends up making people angry, or not making people. It that self-guilt gets them in the mode of, man, I'm just going to be mad at the world. You know, somebody who's lost in sin ends up taking it out on other people. That's why somebody who is caught in sin, they pull away from the church. You want to know why? Because they can't stand people that look better than them and do better than them, and they must be so much better of a Christian than I am, and I can't seem to hold on to this in my life, and I lose everything, so I'm out. But you know what? When all of a sudden your schedule starts getting crazy, do you ever get upset with your spouse? Kids, whenever you're told to go clean your room, do you ever get upset? You ever get upset? Why? Because somebody just added something to your plate. How dare they? This is my room. How dare you, Mom? Don't talk to me like that. Oh, man, I'd get in so much trouble if I said that. Some parents are looking at their children for some odd reason tonight, okay? Have you ever been in that mode where somebody tells you to go and do something and you get, like at work, you already got a full plate ahead of you, and then they add one more thing? Do you know who I am? I'm the one that carries this place. Back off. Please. Have you ever gotten an attitude like that? Well, I wouldn't say that out loud, but you do in your mind. Can we have a confession hour? Has anybody ever done that? Am I the only one? Okay, so a few are brave enough to confess. All right. By the way, you need to take that to Jesus like I do. It's not going to be fixed by telling me. But that's what we struggle with. When we entangle ourselves to things that are outside of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden we get angry. We hold a grudge. We bear ill will towards other people when we're adding to what Christ has already done, because we know that when we add to the gospel, it is impossible to fulfill. When we don't stand within the boundary lines that Christ has given us in the freedom to enjoy what he's given us, which is an eternity of life, with God himself, in the presence of God himself. When we step outside of that, we get entangled again. We put back the chains of bondage on our hands and feet. Not only that, you go into verse 2 and 3, you see we become debtors. We become debtors. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, that means if you're adding this to the gospel, Christ shall profit you nothing. Jesus plus this equals nothing. It says, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, if you go out into our community, and in fact, just go down to a car dealership just down the road, okay? Or you go to your local realtor and you talk about debt, they think it's just something that you need to have. It's like your pet. You need to have it. Everybody does. I mean, 0% for 17 years. That'll be next. In the next few years, it's going to be like 0%, you know, for 17 years if you want to buy this dog. Oh, you can handle the payments, right? Where am I going? All of a sudden, we take away from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We start adding to the gospel. He says, if you try to take one aspect of the law, if you try to achieve a spiritualness, if I can use that made-up term, you get what I'm saying. If you want to achieve that, you are now indebted, obligated to uphold everything else. Everything. It's like a teenager that parent comes in and says, listen, curfew was at 10 o'clock. 1 o'clock in the morning is not going to happen here. It's not going to happen. And teen shows up at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the parent, you know, is staying up waiting. Okay, I don't know if you've got your hiding spot already prepared. I still need to find mine in our house, okay? My children are not to that level yet. And I think their curfew is going to be 1 p.m. I think that's it, all right? School, feel on you, all right? Don't hold them till 3, 1 p.m., all right? Do the rest virtual. Anyway, let's say Mindy's just sitting up waiting. Mason comes in the door. Where have you been? Mom, I can't believe you. I'm moving out. I'm old enough. I can handle myself. I work for Walmart. La-ti-da. You know what she does next? This is what we all, you know, this is our sarcastic side, or this, I don't know if it's our moment of evil or what. I don't know what it is. But then you go into your bills. And you either do this. You go into the bills and say, hey, oh, here's your cell phone bill. Or you turn around and say, hey, give me your cell phone. Well, this is my cell phone. Excuse me? You're moving out. Oh, give me your car keys. But it's my car. I paid for it. Insurance. I paid for it. Bring it on. Oh, I'm man enough to be able to do this all on my own. Listen, if you want to make a big boy decision, then you better know what that big boy decision entails. Has anybody ever had this conversation with anybody? Do you like heat? Do you like AC? Do you like your car? My rules. My boundaries. See, all of a sudden, we try to add a little bit to the gospel. We try to get distracted with these other things that we add or we take away. And all of a sudden, he says, listen, if you want to add something, guess what? You're now indebted to the entire thing. Good luck. Because at that point, it's an impossibility. Because if Mason in that situation would have actually done his budget, he knows that a part-time job at Walmart is not going to make it for him. There's a whole lot more to life. There's a whole lot more to pay for. There's a whole lot more. It's the same thing with the law here. If you just want to add to it, go ahead. But now you are indebted. And you know, people that are selling that type of thing religiously, spiritually, say, oh, don't worry about it. Everybody does it. It's kind of like what they do with debt around here, physically. Some people do that spiritually. Everybody does it. If you can handle, don't worry about it. Oh, okay, if I don't have to worry about it, I'll go ahead and go for it. Stop. When you try to add to Christ, when you try to take away from Christ, you've made him to no effect. You go on into verses 4 through 6, and that's deprived. When you don't want to be within the freedom that Christ gives, you're deprived. You say, where does that go? It says in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. You are deprived from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Here's the difference here. You who try to be justified by the law, you've fallen from that sphere of grace, the things that you don't deserve, but Christ gives it anyway. You've fallen from that. You are out from underneath the umbrella. You have escaped the fold, if you want to say it to that extent, like a shepherd-like situation. You are fallen from it. Does that mean he's lost his salvation? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in the sense of, when you try to step out from what Christ has done, if you're saved and you're trying to step out and go a totally different avenue, then your salvation might be questioned from those around you, but they don't know your heart. Okay, so we haven't gone there, but he's saying that you're losing out on all that Christ has done for you in the sense of the blessings that come from being within his sphere of grace. You're missing out on the peace that passes all understanding. You're missing out on truly rejoicing in the Lord. It goes on, and he says, talking about the hope that he has of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter either way, he's saying. He says, but faith which worketh by love. He's differentiating between the fact that, hey, you could try to appease the law in this sense, but that doesn't do anything for you. You just negate all that Jesus Christ has done for you. But you know what true faith is? You know what true living is in the right way? It's working out your faith with love. He says, we hope through Jesus Christ for righteousness. You say, what do you mean? When you're striving with Christ, there's two different things here, okay? One of those is sanctification. All right, he used the word justified, just as if I'd never sinned, if you want the definition behind that. If you get saved, that's what happens. You are saved from the penalty of sin. But there's sanctification, progressive. David Anderson is not perfect. He's not perfect. But he is growing in Christ, so he is spiritually maturing. I imagine he is a ton more spiritually mature than when he first got saved. Praise God. That's sanctification. That's the righteousness that we hope in. That growing in Christ, that every day we can be saved from the power of sin. And it's an everyday battle. But future that we hope for is glorification, where we're saved from the presence of sin. No longer have to deal with that. That's what we hope for. Something that has been attained by Jesus Christ, and it cannot be attained by me. That's what I hope for. One day, I will not have to deal with temptation any longer. Wow, I can't wait for that. He said, well, you're a pastor. It must be easy for you in your temptation. Please. It's hard. I don't care who you are, what you have, what status you have, how many followers on Facebook and Instagram you have, whatever it might be, temptations are hard no matter who you are. And I'm hoping for the day when I'll be totally saved from them. But I am resting when I am within the fold. I'm resting on Christ's power to be able to, by faith, love others, love God, do what he's called us to do. And again, that's not me relying on me to have it done, but me relying on the power of God, me relying on the Holy Spirit that lives within me, that's taken up refuge in me. I get to rely on that through the Holy Spirit. That's what we hope in. And I get to enjoy life, just like those kids. We're enjoying playing tag. You know what? They just kept tagging each other over and over and over again. It didn't get old to them. And when I said, hey, it's time to go in, oh, come on, can we just play outside? They just kept tag. One of the kids, he didn't understand tag. He's just going around, tag, and he'd go to the next person, tag. He didn't care. He just kept going because he was enjoying the freedom of play. See, when we go and we do the same thing over and over and over again, oh, we're going to church today. But, no, we're going to go and gather with the church today. But we did it last week. I don't care. I love God. I enjoy being in the presence of other believers worshiping him. I want to worship him again, and I'll do it every time that I possibly can, and I enjoy it. Right? Isn't that the attitude? But I did it last month. No. Just keep doing it over and over and over again and enjoying what God gives us, because it's way better than what the world can offer. It's way better than what social media can offer. It's way better than what CNN and Fox News and Newsmax can offer. I don't care who you got, okay? I don't care. It's way better than all that stuff out in the world. I'd rather be worshiping with you. I enjoy that. I look forward to it. You know, these people that want to step outside of that are deprived of that joy. If I can use this illustration, did anybody ever go on a date and the parent was in the back seat? Did anybody do that? Okay. Let's go college student, okay? There's a college student guy wanting to date this girl. So he says, hey, can we go, you know, to Tasty Treat? Woo-woo. Oh, LP, let's go to LP. I'm sorry. Let's go to LP. Let's get some ice cream. Oh, sure, I'd love to do that. So he goes by, picks her up. Dad comes out. He just opens up the back door. He don't care. He opens it up. In fact, let's just make this better. He opens up the front door. And he sits down right in the shotgun. He expects you to get out of the vehicle, open up the door for his daughter in the back seat. Let's just say that. And then you get back up in the front seat and you start driving. Guess what? All of a sudden you remembered where 2, 10 and 2 is. Every stop sign, there is no more rolling stop. It is not suggested any longer. 30 is the speed limit. Why? Because you're not focused on her. You're focused on Dad. And let's just say he's packing. See, that's what happened with Keely. I just wanted to go and talk to her dad and just to hang out with her. That's it. We had dinner. He says, okay, go get your shoes on. Okay. So we're going to talk. I gotta go change. He goes in, he gets changed, he comes back out, and I'm down another hallway, okay? He comes out, he says, honey, you think I need this? And I peek my head around the corner, and he had a revolver on his waist, folks. Really? What did I do to you? And she says, put that away. Put that away. I'm just so thankful for her. I just am. She dilutes him, okay? All right? And believe me, it's a good thing. All right? Can you imagine being there 10-2, not enjoying? But you know what? Let's just say that you've developed a relationship with your future father-in-law to where he's got your best interests. And he doesn't, this was stated to me. He says, I don't care whether you marry my daughter or not. He says, I want you to be better than you were before in your relationship with me. All of a sudden, some things started changing. All of a sudden, I knew that he wasn't trying to shoot me, okay? Now, if he's in the back seat, it doesn't matter. I get to enjoy the relationship that I have with my wife. In fact, a lot of times if we go anywhere now, okay, he just jumps into the front seat and she has to get in the back seat. And you know what? Who cares? Why? Because a relationship has developed and I'm no longer like to, I can relax one hand, right? Now, he still drives like a grandpa, so he goes like 45 in a 55, but you know what? I deal with that. And he says, hey, slow it down a little bit. I said, no, I'm going to go to the speed limit. I'm going to go to speed. That's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. They say, well, what are you talking about? In that sphere of grace, I can enjoy the relationship that I have. And just because father-in-law shows up, I don't have to live in fear. Because by faith, I'm hoping in the relationship that we've developed. In the same way, in our relationship spiritually with God, he might be in the back seat watching over me, and I don't have to go. I can have the peace that passes all understanding, folks. I can rest, and by faith in my God and what Jesus Christ has done, I'm going to sin. I know it. I'm going to fall short. But you know what? He says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you love that? Do you love that about your Jesus, your Heavenly Father, the Spirit that lives within you, the Trinity being involved and faithful to forgive you in your life? So I don't want to be deprived of that. I want to live within that sphere of grace. You go on, I gotta be quick with this last part. In verse 7 through 12, hindered and contaminated. It says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Okay, so you were running your race. You were doing what's right, like you see in Hebrews chapter 12. You were doing what's right, but then all of a sudden somebody stepped in. Sometimes people will step into our lives and we'll allow them to hinder us, okay? We make the decision. They don't make us make decisions. We allow them to hinder us, to stumble us and or make us stumble, and all of a sudden their persuasion is to drive us off course, to think that there's a shorter route, there's a better route, there's a scenic drive that you must take, and we're persuaded differently. He says in verse 8, the persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. The God that called you out, that made you alive when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, the same one that called me to salvation. He's saying, that's not the one that's persuading you to go off course. Don't blame this on God. Because these other religious people were trying to blame this on God, saying, this is what God wants for you. Don't blame this on God. He goes on in verse 9, he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All of a sudden, you just let a little bit in, and it contaminates. You let that just that little bit to question what God has done for you. What happened to Eve? Well, you know, what did he tell you? Well, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. All of a sudden, she added to what the command of God was. Did you know that? She actually added to it and says, oh, we're going to die because, you know, we can't even do this. She added onto it. She added the first step of legalism happened in Genesis. And then all of a sudden, she started questioning how good God is and how enough he is, the relationship that she had with him. It goes on and says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. He says, I have confidence that you are not going to turn this other way, that you are going to start going down the right path. He says, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. God will judge those who teach false beliefs. It says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? So obviously someone is saying, well, Paul preached it at some point. Well, he might have before salvation, but he says, listen, if I was doing that right now, why would I be persecuted by these same people? Why would they be coming against me and questioning who I am? He says, in that verse, he says, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I've canceled that out if I want to preach the law. All of a sudden, I've canceled out the cross. It says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, this can get pretty graphic if you go down into the details. Okay? But what he's doing is he's linking something that a cult, a local pagan cult, would do to make themselves self-made eunuchs, okay? All right? Guess what? That religion is not going to last very long. And you know that's totally against what God has stated in the beginning of his word. Be fruitful, multiply. And yet religious people were presenting this. He says, I would desire that these people that are presenting this to you, these false beliefs, would just go one step further. He said, Paul, whoa, take a step back. He would wish that they would be made self-made eunuchs. And you say, what's the idea behind that? Well, think about it. The picture behind that is that he's hoping that they would never be able to propagate this false belief system to anyone else. I wish that that would just be done. There's no more fruit for them. They're not producing anything. I hope that it's totally done, but that they would also identify themselves with the pagan cults that are all around them. You know what? It would be so much easier to live our lives if all of a sudden the people who didn't want to live for Christ would say, hey, I don't want to live for him. There's people out there. It's very rare, but most people will say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I do good things. I'm pretty good. What about Jesus? Well, take him or leave it, you know. They don't often come out with that. And in fact, some of the religions and the cults that I've described, like the Mormons, they would have the exact same definitions that we would. There's some Baptist cult out in Arizona with a crazy lunatic pastor who can't go into several countries because of how radical he is, and he thinks that he's spiritual, and yet he has turned so many people away from the faith because he's added to the gospel. The guy hates sinners. I wonder how many would even listen to you if you came up and just spoke hatred. Do you know what he said there in the passage? He says, work out your faith through, what was it? Love. Do you remember that? Through love. And so there's a lot of things out there that are not easily identifiable, and yet he would hope that they would just identify themselves and they would stop producing. This is what he would hope for those who preach false beliefs. This is what he would desire. He's like, I just want it to be finished so that you could go on and live in your freedom that you have in Christ. Did it happen? Those people didn't do what he was desiring. But yet, there's still that ability to be able to seek Christ and to get back on that path that he was hoping that they would. To run their race well like they did before. This is important, folks. Why did he present this truth? Because this is truth that we are going to experience. In this sense of, all of us in here need to know that we need to hold fast. We need to stand fast. That we need to stay within the freedom that Christ has given us through his salvation. We need to stay within the fold. He is the true shepherd, folks. He would know what we need. He knows the green pastures. He knows the still waters. He knows how to walk us through the valley of the shadow of death. He knows. But I don't have to fear any evil because he's with me. So folks, stand fast. Stand fast. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm not even within the fold. I've never trusted in Jesus Christ. I've never put my faith in him. I don't know what this experience is that you're talking about, having the Holy Spirit live within me. I don't know what this is all about. In fact, I've been underneath this yoke of bondage that you were talking about. Listen, tonight, you can be freed from that. And it's not going to be me that does that. It's Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. If you're willing to do that tonight, it'd be the best thing for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much. Thank you for the truth that you've presented, that you can use a simple illustration with children to show us how we can be like those children. We as adults get distracted, try to search for something better, but God, Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything that's out there. God, help us to remain within the fold. God, if there's someone here tonight that needs to get into the fold through your son, God, that you would allow them, that you would push them to the point of salvation. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's David.